You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast. And I got my guy Roman Harper with me today. What's up?
Chilling.
That's
enjoying it? Hey, what look, man, that? I'm going to keep it cool. First of all, it's cold enough in this room, so I'm going to keep it real cool.
It is freezing
in here. They don't even need my help.
You should put your coat on.
I'm not. I'm committed to the fashion today. I will say this, though.
We'll say.
Thank you, all of our viewers, all the people that listen and watch us. Please tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review, click the follow button, and share wherever you pick up your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio. Please do what you do. Peanut, who we got today?
I'm excited about this next guest. He played 15 years in the NFL with the Jets, the Falcons, and the Cardinals. Yeah, 15. That's a long time. He's got 133 and a half sacks in his career, 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, John Abraham. It's a hell of a resume, boss. 15 years.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, man. Like
100 sack club. Woo.
Hey, the thing is like I remember you so much from Atlanta.
I do too.
I forget how much work you did with the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, if you really paid attention, they would probably say that I was better at the Jets. You know, that's when I had an All Pro and three Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
You know, I only had 2 Pro Bowls after that. I got one in Atlanta and I got one in Arizona in the 2 years I was there. So I was spreading it out.
Yeah. It just blows my mind. And the thing is, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. The reason why you always stick out in my mind is because you had this humongous flamboyant tattoo on your right arm that just, when you would go down and we're looking at the offense, it just always like, dude, I can really see a lot of color in this guy's tattoo.
And you know, being a black man, getting red on your, when I got my first, when I got my first tattoo, and it's funny because when I was in New York, they hated my tattoos.
Really?
So I only had my body. Come on, you got to think how I was back then. Like back then, you know, If you were considered a hood or gangster if you had tattoos.
Standard,
you know,
now. My
head coach at the time wasn't having it. And everybody knew who my head coach was for New York Jets. They know it was. Yeah. So it was like, you know, just calm it down. I'm like, dude, it's just a tattoo, you know. But when they gave me money in Atlanta, you know what they should have never gave that man
they
money.
They never should have gave
they
him no
never
money.
Gave that man money. Hey, I went and I was like, look, LeBron got a tattoo here. He 20. Like, I'm 27, 28. Hey, let me get it here. Let me get this. Let me get right here too. Let me get this. I got all tatted up. Then I was like, I made enough money. I ain't had to worry about working.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And is there a theme? Are they just like spur of the moment tats, or do they all mean something?
A lot of them were. So on my left leg, I'm sorry, my right leg, I have family members.
Yeah.
Because I figure I always got to walk with them. You know what I mean? My daughter's on my chest because I always got to carry it. I got my life and my pain because I got tired of people talking to me.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm like, John, this is your life. Whatever pain you go through, nobody else can help you through. So, and also I got my mom on this side because my mom was my strength.
Yeah.
I got like my dad on this side and a lot of negative stuff that happened in my life on this side. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's experience. Because it's a whole story.
My mom kept me right. My dad left.
Oh.
So, you know, it's all like stuff that makes sense when I look at it. You know, even like some stuff in my tattoo, I had to get John B. Nice on this side. At one point in my life, you know what I'm saying? So one point in my life, but you know, also I think tattoos carry negative and positive energy. So I'm starting to cover some of them up.
Yeah.
You know, I got an FU right here and they got to go, you know?
Yeah.
I got a Hennessy tattoo right here. Yeah, they got to go. I've been 4 years sober now. So, you know, I got to get that out of the way, you know? So it's certain things that I got to move on from my life if I want to have a clarity of mind and feel like I'm growing.
Right. So I've been playing football my whole life. I know you're a Pop Warner guy.
Yes.
Again, we've been playing football. You way older than me. So you've been playing since the beginning of time, My question to you is, how do you only play football for 1 year in high school? And then a few years later, you turn around and you become a first round draft pick. Like how does that happen? Like, what did you do in that 1 year? And why did you wait so late to play?
Yeah, how you fly under the radar that long?
That's a good question right there, man. And it's the honest question I got to tell you is that I was a beast in like little league. Like I probably like both of y'all was beasts. We were beasts, but I was a guard. And then in eighth grade, they always call me Tony. Okay. So if I say Tony every now and then, it just how I talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm playing football. And I started loving it. I was a receiver in the end. So one day in school, like at lunch break, I decided to play some, you know, just flag football, just running around with kids and stuff. I broke my ankle. That was in eighth grade. My mom said, you will never play football again. I had to leave work. I don't like seeing you get hurt. You'll never play football again. So band, basketball, track. Yeah, I was percussion.
Percussion. Okay, I was like, what instrument? Percussion, okay.
I had to be sexy, man. Yeah, I had to be sexy, man. So I did that. And then my senior year, after, you know, pretty much winning state and track, having a okay, you know, basketball career. I'm 6'4" playing center, bro. I'm like,
Mom. It works in high school.
Yeah, so I went in high school. So I'm like, Mom, you know, it's my senior year. My girlfriend got more accolades in the senior book than I got, you know. Can I play football? She was like, yeah, do what you want. You old enough now to make your own decisions. I was like, cool, I'm gonna go out. I went out. That first day I was about to quit. I wasn't used to getting hit. I played basketball, you know what I'm saying? And then he had me at defensive end and receiver. And I'm like, receiver's cool, but this end thing? But you got to understand, we only had 22 people on the team.
Right. Oh, wow.
So the biggest thing my coach ever told me, Gerald Boyd, he was just like, see ball, get ball. And I was like, this is easy. You know what I mean? Because he always was like, oh, John, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, I know nothing about this game. Like I know how we played when we were kids. You know what I mean? Like the killer man. Throw the ball up, you catch it, you run. You try to tackle somebody. When he told me that, everything else was simple. And I just started getting recognized from Clemson, which is a school I probably should have went to, South Carolina, which my mom wanted me to go to. So you know what that was.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to South Carolina, but I started just getting attention from all kinds of schools. And, you know, as even how y'all doing y'all work now, you think you're prepared till you get into the situation.
Right.
I wasn't prepared. I didn't know anything about football. I didn't know what school was a good football school. I didn't know what school was this. I just know that I'm going somewhere free.
Yeah.
I'm getting this free 99. And I don't know what I'm going to get out of this free 99, but I'm going to do it as much as I can. So when I got to when I got to college, and this one coach was just like, yeah, you a man amongst boys. And I was like, you got to mind you, I'm playing DN, and I'm what you are right now?
206.
Good. I was about 206. Mm-hmm. So I was about your size playing DN when I first got to the league. If anybody know what I'm talking about, you understand. If you see how small this guy is. So I was playing DN. I led my college my freshman year in sacks, sophomore year, junior year, and senior year. So all 4 years in college, I led them in sacks. Simply because
are you getting sacks at 200? Like
running. Running. Basketball, track. Yeah, so all I did was run. I never learned the game because Rick Petrie, he also coached Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
He was but all these guys didn't know how to coach me. And I had Chris Koch also. He coached Simeon Rice. Mm-hmm. He was a little better with me because, you know, Simeon was just this freak athlete.
Yeah, he was.
You know, Simeon was a freak. You see him right now. He still got 17 abs. Yeah. He still probably can run a four-minute mile.
High-cut guy.
Yeah. So he was better for me because he moved me to linebacker. So he showed that this guy can run. Like I used to run for days until I got my injury. I used to run for days. You know, I could just go. So that's what I did on the football field. Like all my sacks probably went like it was in the league. In the league, I learned how to dance. You know what I mean? I learned how to spin. I learned how to do the inside outside move. So there's a lot of different things you have to learn. Like all our careers from when we first start to the end, you could be like, how easier was it? because you started learning football. Mm-hmm. Like my career didn't get better till I went to Atlanta and I got hurt again. And I was in New York because we just hit so much. Hit. Always had pads on. I'm like, man, I don't know how long I'm gonna be in this league. I even told him my 6 years in the league, I was just like, after I got that little franchise tag, I said, I'm done. I told my little guy, like, look, I had a 5-year deal for $7 million. So, and then they franchised me and they gave me a 1-year deal for six. For me, that's change.
Oh, yeah.
That's change. I've
been working 5 years. I can make that in 1 year.
Yeah, that's change. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, cool. I'm like, I ain't going to play no more because I can't handle how they play. They practicing like this. Look, man, I done had a surgery on my groin 3 times and I came back 3 times. You know, I got my 3 Pro Bowls. And then it got to the point that nobody didn't believe in me when I was in New York. They always felt like, because I feel kind of bad for Anthony Davis. You know, people talk about, oh, he's plastic, man. He can't do this. He can't do that. When I was in New York, they was like, he can't stay healthy. He can't stay healthy. I'm like, not one time did you ask me to sit out of practice. You trying to make me tough, but I'm like, I'm already tough. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us are tough. You understand the mentality and the body. Like, I got to ask a question over here. They was like, John, what's the difference between football now? I said, they don't try to beat you up. They try to teach you. So if you watch these players now, you can see, you're going to see these players like Watt. T.J. Watt is going to play hopefully 20 years as a DN or even as an outside linebacker. You know, you're going to see this because they're not trying to beat these players up. And you get to see these household names like Mahomes playing to 20 years.
That's crazy.
You know, and for us, we was 5'10". Let me get 5 or 10. If I can get 5 or 10, you know what I mean?
10, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to get 10.
Yeah.
Once I'm 10, I'm good. Anything after 10, it's a bonus.
Yeah, because I came in right 2000. I was like, shh.
But yeah, they're still, that, I mean.
Yeah, it was still beaten up. Still getting beat up.
2 days, like real deal tour.
Real tour days.
With no, like real guaranteed days off.
Full.
Yeah.
Where was like, in sight.
They got to give you a day off. But every 7 days, like you can't like just grind it through anymore. And they didn't have that rule.
There was no understanding. I remember when we played, I remember my rookie year, bro. I was in the training room, right? I went and cut all my tape off, took all my shit, and I was sitting in my locker, and the old heads was just sitting there with their tape on and everything like that. He said, boy, we got to go right back to practice. literally, he was just like everybody was like, I was like, took a shower, everything, sitting there. I had to go back and get tape, go back and do this. Like, everybody just sat there in the same stuff like this. That's how bad it used to be back in the day, man.
We used to sit
just like this. Like, I'm talking, only thing we do is take our pads off.
Keep
and you might get retake. You might get retake, okay, but 9 out of 10 times you weren't going to do all that. You weren't. No, I'm serious. Because if you seen the Jets facility back in the day, it was horrible. Oh, it was horrible, man. It wasn't no bigger than this room. Like, the training room was this small.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Oh,
it was on Hofstra campus.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow.
Shout out to my man, Marcus Colton.
Yeah.
Shout out. last great one.
Tracy Hofstra.
Yeah, Hofstra. Yeah, there it is. Shout out.
Got a shout out old boy, too. Raheem. Which Raheem Muddy's.
Oh, okay.
Hofstra.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was there when I was there. Like, okay. my senior, no, until my senior year. I'm sorry. When I came in there as a rookie, he was at Hofstra.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got something big that you can talk about. Yeah.
Well, 15 years you've been in the league, right? It's your first welcome to the NFL moment. Like, where you was just like, damn, this is the league. I'm into the NFL. This is the league.
I think it's a good moment and a bad moment because
I want to hear them both.
No, I mean, I think just the one moment was
in one. Okay.
Okay, let me go back to college first. I got to lead into the story. So in college, I lost 21 straight games. You know, so, and being a first round pick, you thinking that, okay, I'm a first round pick. I'm going to the league and I'm going to win. You know, I'm here with Brian.
I can't be.
Yes, I can't be this bad. I'm in the league. I got Vinny Testaverde at the time. We got, you know, and I got Curtis Martin. Like, I got all these big name guys. I got Brian Cox. I got Marvin Jones. I got Rome. I'm like, dude, I'm going to win. And I know I'm going to come here and I can relax finally. So our first preseason game, we losing. I'm crying. I'm sitting, because think about this 22 straight games. This preseason. You understand, bro? I lost 21 straight games. I don't think you understand. I got MVP of my team my senior year, so I was the best of the worst. So you got to understand, like, so I'm sitting here on the bench and I'm like crying and stuff because I'm taking all these games personal.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm taking everything personal. And Brian Cox came up to me. He was like, Rook, we're going to win this game. You got to calm down, though. This is preseason. I'm like, man. I said, you don't get it, bro. I hit that deep. You don't get it, bro. I've been losing my whole life. Hey, bro, I made it like a little sob story. But, you know, after that, me and BC became like real good friends. But I think that's when I knew I was in the NFL. When he came and told me, he was just like, look, John, we're going to win the game. The game is never over. You know, this. And it helped me. And it helped me now. And I think I should have used this in life more. Mm-hmm. Cause you think about how many plays you played and you lost. Like I might've played 9,000 plays in my career. And then I'll let one or two plays, you know, hinder my mind. Mm-hmm. Think about how many games you lost. Like I paid 192. I might've lost 90 of them. I might've lost, got to do the same thing in life. You know, the 365 days, that one or two days you lose can't be a loss. Because your career ain't a loss, like, you know, for me. So it took a lot of stuff, like, after I was done to get, you know, like, really pinpoint on how many times I lost. Like, right. I want to get sacks. I had, like, 1,000-some plays 1 year, and you had, like, 10 sacks. Bro, you ain't do nothing. Like, what you did the other 900 plays?
Well, yeah, if you go forward from that angle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a coach named Joe Vitt talk to me about something very similar. He was like, look, football is, like, people, we think it's all this glory, all the great. He's like, 85% of football sucks. The practices, the losses, the pain, the injuries, the studying, the practice. Like, but you do it all for the 8 to 10% of the wins. Like, that's the sweet spot. And that's what you're kind of leaning on now. It's like, you know, that 10% of where I ball, bro, it changes everything. It gives you all the highs that you need.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to know another. I want to know if you can remember this high. Do you know who your first sack was against?
My first sack was Drew Brees. No, I'm lying. Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe. It was actually, because I ain't gonna lie, y'all, my memory is terrible. Yeah, I was talking to y'all about this. Yeah. Outside, you know what I'm saying?
I
sat here like, you know, you had me thinking. I'm like, I don't know, who was my first sack? Yeah, but it was good because Sean had a sack also. Me and Sean Ellis, mm-hmm. we played in that same game, and both of us had a sack in the same game. And Sean was like my brother, man. Like, how y'all too close like this? I love seeing stuff like this because I don't have a friend like that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that, like, from the league. I got friends like two, you know, and stuff like that. But she's like, I love to see the, you know, just the camaraderie between two guys.
For sure.
And like, I'm like, dang, I love they show, man. I love that shit. Little Mugs, little boy got that show. You know, so it's good stuff that I like to see like that. But me and Sean came in together, and, you know, and him getting the sack and me getting the sack at the same time was like, you know, I thought our career was going to be like, man, both of us going to Hall of Fame, we doing it. Oh, boy, we gonna be amazing. I was like, you know, stuff changes, you know.
It does. That's life.
Yeah, so Thursday they announced on honors the 2024 class, the Hall of Fame. So it was Dwight Freeney, Randy Gradishar, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Steve McMichael, Julius Peppar, and Patrick Willis. My question to you is, what do you think about that class?
It's a beautiful class. I think the only thing that hurts me is that Dwight Freeney, we got the same numbers.
There it is. There it is. Hold on, let's talk about it. How many sacks do you have? 133 and a half. You don't need to fill, I'll fill in the blank for you.
It's a lot.
133 and a half sacks. You have the numbers, the 15 years. And so I understand you're hurt. I would love to hear why. Why do you feel hurt? Or why do you feel like you're not getting the same love?
Well, I know it's strictly because my media work, first of all.
Okay.
You know, I didn't do a lot of things. When I played, I just wasn't a media guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the media has a lot to do with how that perception comes when you're done playing. You know, like it's easier to transition when you have people that you can straight talk to and everything. Yeah. But also, you know, championships. He had a ring. I think he was a player of the year. You know, he led the league in sacks. You know, I never led the league in sacks. Never was a player of the year. I just balled. You know, mm-hmm. I can say that double-digit sacks, I have 8 years of that. 2 years, nine and a half, so almost 10 years of double-digit sacks. Mm-hmm. I played 192 games. A lot of guys played over 200, and their numbers are maybe this far away from me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you think about 192 games, only 12 years. So in my mind, I feel really lost because I'm like, dude, if you never got hurt. So it took me a long time to get over that situation. So yeah. I'm happy for Dwight, though.
Yeah.
But it also showed me that I am a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I'm like, think about it, if you put in 40 games, oh, my God, like the numbers would have been like, okay, even if I wouldn't have made it then, I still got to say, John, from where you came from a small town, Timbersville, South Carolina, playing on 22 people, 1 year of high school football, losing, 21 straight games in college, being a first-round pick, every time you got hurt, like every year I got hurt, except for my last year in the league, I came back and made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stuff that I had to start patting myself on the back, you know, because, you know, people don't care. Like, yeah. You know, once you're out of the shadow, they ain't gonna look for you no more. Like, if y'all didn't have this right now, people know your name is Peanut, but they won't care about how good you was or how you punched the ball. They'd be like, I don't remember him. You could walk out there, if you didn't have your show, you can walk out there and people would walk right by you and not say anything. And, you know, it's all about the, you know, I guess for me personally, it had to be about like, dude, you got to start giving yourself gratification.
Yeah.
I was always worrying about what I didn't do compared to what I did. I'm like, dude, you did all this. Like, I was number nine in sacks when I retired. And this missing 30 games. I was like, how are you going to be mad at yourself about that? You know, instead of being proud of, like, what you accomplished.
What you have accomplished.
Because, like I said, I came from Timbersville, South Carolina. Like, literally nobody ever from Timbersville, South Carolina made it to the league. Lamar, South Carolina, yes, we had LeVon Kirkland. I was second after him, but nobody ever made it. Like, I'm the only person who ever did that. And I got to start patting myself on the back for the stuff I did accomplish while I was in the NFL compared to what you didn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How proud are you of yourself considering that, I mean, you had a phenomenal career? You just said, you, in my opinion, I think we can agree, you had a Hall of Fame career. How proud are you of yourself considering the fact that you only played 1 year of high school football?
Like I told you, man, like, honestly, and I think everybody kind of knows it now. I've been doing treatment for 4 years.
Yeah.
Working on treatment, and mm-hmm. now I'm starting to get gratification.
Yeah.
When I was done, though, because I got hurt, mm-hmm. and you're bleeding on both sides of your brain. I'm like, dang, I ain't going to be able to play no more. I was like, first of all, it's 15 years, bro. Ain't nobody, because I still remember going, and it's crazy because my memory is so spotty, but some things that usually the negative stuff, you can remember, but the positive stuff, you can't. Yeah. Yes, it makes no sense. But I remember coming into Bruce Arians' office and I was crying. I was like, Bruce, I don't think I can do it anymore. He was like, John, just, and I always had my coaches, like Bruce, Mike Smith, those are two guys that if you ever got to play under these guys, man, like they're real men.
I know B.A. well.
It's never a job for him. Mm-hmm. It's never a job. Like, it's always personal. Like, when I said he cares about, like, what's going on with you. Now, if you terrible player and you ain't doing that, you can get that. You know, he going, like, bye-bye. Right. But if he's serious, but he's like, you know what, John? Just try to come back out this year. Just come, because we, like, I need you and da-da-da-da. And I was like, I'm going to come out there. And I end up getting hurt. And then I end up seeing how bad I was. So he actually helped me more than hurt me. Because if I'd have been walking around, like, with my mind like this and not knowing. So I'm like, dude, that actually helped. So I always got a lot of gratitude for, you know, BA, just for and him and man, I'm talking about these guys really just helped me become a better person now. Like now, looking back, like John, you all, because I always felt like I was a loner from coming in the league, you know, being like, you know, some people went to colleges that they already had stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had Sterling Sharpe, but Sterling Sharpe was so far gone, so I couldn't really talk to him. So when I got in the league, I felt like I was by myself. So it was hard for me to go like hang with this person or go with this person. Like when I went to Pro Bowls, I stayed in my room. Not because a lot of times I just felt like I was out of character. Like, mm-hmm. this ain't my thing. Like I'm not a football player. You know, I don't know if y'all went through it, but how many times you'll meet somebody and they'll be like, oh, you're a football player. I can't talk to you. Oh, you're this. I can't mess with you. Or this, this, and this. And it became so repetitive in my mind that, and I even had coaches tell me, you know, you're a football player. I'm like, dude. I did a lot of other stuff in life besides this. I'm a right. father, you know, I'm a man, I'm a son, I'm a dad. Like there's so much stuff that I've done in life. And when people start portraying me as just a football player, I started believing it. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I was done, when football was gone,
I was gone.
Yes. I was gone. When football was gone, I was gone. And I can't even lie to myself and say that I was great. No, I was not. But you know, now it's like, nah, I'm like, bro, you crazy. Like, I can juggle, I can do sign language now, all because I got this free time. I'm dead. So the sign language is fun. And I was doing this before Metcalf, and that's what kind of pissed me off, because I'm looking like, man, they're going to think I'll start doing this because of that. And also, I'm back in school now. I'm trying to finish my degree.
Nice, yeah.
So it's a lot of other things that
What you trying to get your degree in?
Sociology.
Okay.
So, but my thing was, I had to start, dude, for like 6-7 years, all I did was beat up on myself.
Yeah.
I never thought that I could do anything else.
Yeah.
And I laid on my failures and not my success or my gratitude. You know, I was just like, man, what's going on? Like now I'm looking like, man, if I would have did this 14 years ago or 10 years ago, but instead of doing that, I'm saying, what are you going to do today to make yourself better?
Yes.
Like even coming here, if you would have asked me to do this like 5-6 years ago, no. You know, working with Tracy and working with a lot of people in the NFL that I thought there was not good people, mm-hmm. because you hear so many stories compared to getting to know the people, you know, like, oh, well, you know, Peanut them, they got this show because of this, you know, Roman them got this show because of this, but they don't like what the work y'all put in.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, a lot of this, the stuff that we don't hear about, a lot of stuff that you have to go through, it don't just be like handed out. And then also you got to think about it, how hard I worked to get there.
Right.
So John, if you want to be better, how hard are you going to work to be better compared to sitting there and just taking it? Like I used to sit in my house and just take all the negative stuff. Cause it, like, I think my friend told me one time, if a bird fly by you and he poop on you, are you going to move or are you going to keep letting him poop on you? And I was like, he said, that's how your thoughts are. If you sit there and let your thoughts, you got to move. Yeah. Like you got to understand that thought is just a bird flying by. Mm. If you see something negative coming from that bird, you move out of the way. Same thing with your thoughts. And I was like, bro, I needed that. Yeah. And it's crazy, like small things that people will tell you and it'll stick with you. And I was like, and even now, like I just work on my, because I still have the negative thoughts.
Yeah.
But I have to work through.
Like listening to you talk, you really needed to have this time to grow. This transition for you post NFL career, because like that's what we came here to talk about, is really the second act. And so everybody's second act starts differently, feels a little bit differently, has to be executed a little bit differently. For you, it seems that you really need to have to go back in your second journey, go back some chapters and really clean those things up and understand a lot of the why and maybe apologize to yourself.
Oh, I did all that.
You know what I'm saying?
Or and also a lot of the stuff wasn't even problems. It was it wasn't problems. It was just made up stuff in your head.
Yeah.
Cause you start stacking stuff. Like, cause I'll tell you one thing that about me, when I played football, I know y'all probably the same way. I didn't want no ME, mental error.
Yeah.
I got a mental error my rookie year. So I used to be in the books. So if I get a mental, I would never watch my good plays when I played.
He's focusing on
I never watched my good plays. Like let's say if I messed up, if I lined up wrong, you will see me in the meeting room, just sitting there watching my plays. Like I used to go on Wednesday and Thursday. So I knew everything. I just go by myself, like, you know, 8-9 o'clock. Instead of going out, I go 8-9 o'clock. I go watch me and I watch. But I sit there and watch all my bad plays and not watch my good plays. That's how I messed up in life, because it transitioned into life. So all my mind used to playing back. It was, you know, negative stuff. All this happened. okay. That's what I was telling y'all earlier about. You played all these plays. You might have missed that sack, but you came back to get another sack. Why you ain't doing that in life? You might have missed this opportunity. Why you ain't coming back and do this opportunity? You still here, ain't you? They ain't cut you. Man. God ain't came and got you.
Yeah.
You still here? You still on the team, boss? Amazing. You starting too. So let me get out and do stuff. So, but you know, there's a lot of things, like you said, looking in your past. And I was like, dang, that was one thing. And also I talked with two of them. A big thing was getting a better relationship with my mom. This is the post thing we're talking about. Yeah, so getting a better relationship with my mom, because my mom was a Christian. She a holiness lady. So she didn't believe in a lot of flashy stuff. Like the reason why I never like try to be too flashy, even though I was outside of football, you know, I used to do flashy stuff because I thought that.
You told us you played because you want to be smooth.
Yeah, but I thought it was, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of negative stuff I did in my life. I thought it was portraying being a man because I never had a real role model. Okay. So when I came in the league, when I was in college, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't go out or anything. So when I got to the league, I wanted to hang with the boys.
Yeah.
So put it like this, I take that back. I do appreciate everybody I came in the league with. But if I came in the league with y'all, I would think my career might have been different. Like if I would have chose to hang with Curtis Martin, you know, instead of Brian Cox. And I'm not knocking Brian. Brian tells you himself. Brian told me, he was like, man, I wish I would have never got you drinking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're right. I said, but you know, we over it now. But you know, I still love him to death though, because he's the same one that stayed out the practice and helped me work on my hips. He didn't want to work on my hands. So for me, it was more like, if I want to be good, if I want to hang with my, you know, my team and I want to be a leader, I want to do everything they're doing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's not a bad thing now. And like looking, like, you know, at one point I was just like, why this? I'm like, man, why not? I mean, it's over with now. Like, dude, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like anything you do now, John Doe, you got to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I shouldn't have did this with him or I shouldn't have did that. No, yeah, I knew better then, but it was just like, I wanted to be. Think about it. Like when I came in the league, it was like, bro, you're going to be like Lawrence Taylor. You're going to be like this. I'm like, well, Lawrence Taylor was a wild boy. Well, Brian Cox is a wild boy. You know, so a lot of my people I was looking at, they some wild boys. I'm like, I want to be a wild boy too. So I felt like I had to keep doing the same stuff. You know, you have different, you know, role models. Think about it. Kobe wouldn't have been Kobe without Jordan, right?
Right. True.
So I'm looking at, this is how I got to be to play like that.
I want to play like this.
Yeah, I want people to talk about John Abraham off the field, how they talk about LT. You know, he climbed up a building. What? Oh, look, he did that. He did it in the college. That's already, he climbed up a building in college. I'm like, shoot, I wanted all the smoke. You know what I'm saying? At that time, because I was young, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the older you get, and then you get bad habits. Yeah. And then you push yourself from further from people that you want to be close to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, like I had the people there. You know, I had Vinny Testaverde. I had Chad Pennington, which y'all know very well. Mm-hmm. So I had people that I could have really been in line with, but I chose the prior. I mean, the other.
Yeah. So I know we retired. I'm a year older than you as far as my retirement. Don't give me that look, because I said I'm a year older. He looked older. That's all it is.
Dude, you're way older than me.
Anyway, Rome took 365 days off after he retired. And I was like the complete opposite. Like I got into a job immediately right away. My question to you is, what did you do your first year in retirement?
Okay, I'm gonna give you what I can give you.
Okay.
So like I told you, I had a head injury and I had, you know, they said I was bleeding on both sides of my brain. I didn't think I was gonna be around for this. So I didn't plan to be 45. I didn't plan to be, I was planning, I just didn't have, a plan. Right. But I did tell myself, I do remember I told myself I'm giving myself 5 years after football just to heal personally, because shoulder, groin, head injury now. So I said, I'm gonna need 5 years. And 5 years came like in 3 days.
That happens really fast.
Cause you said you took a year and I'm like, man, I know it was like.
It happened fast.
Yeah. So I sold myself 5 and then I woke up in 2020 and it was like, dude, it's been like 8 years. I'm like, John, you got to tighten up. Like, you know, I started like, this time went so fast. Like, you got to tighten up. You got to do something with yourself.
So what was the plan what were you going to accomplish in 5 years?
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Like I said, it was literally,
at the time I had real estate already.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, at the time, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on that was good. Well, I thought was good. You know what I mean? But then you start retracting. But honestly, it was mainly because of the brain thing, though.
Yeah.
It was like I went through a lot of stuff that I didn't believe when I heard it from other people. Mm-hmm. You know, like you hear about people doing this and your mind thinking this and this and this. I didn't believe that was true. So, I thought a lot. Yeah. But then, you know, when it started happening, you know, I started losing stuff. You know, I started not knowing where I was sometimes. I started going through a lot of the phases of stuff, you know, not being able to sleep. I played football all up until 2021 because I used to wake up every night, like literally like I'm about to go to practice. Like dead serious. Like I used to get up and I'd be walking to the, like, what on that? You know, I started laughing and I started getting so used to it.
Right.
And then it's like embarrassing. Like to me, it was embarrassing because people didn't know about it. So I wouldn't tell people about it because I didn't want to be another, oh, he's, and then I thought people would think I'm faking.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like he's probably faking, you know, that, you know, when people start throwing, and it's tough because when you try to be vulnerable, and people start throwing it back in your face. Mm. The rage that you feel is like unsurmountable, especially when it's people you're trusting. Like, oh, right. Well, you know, I knew I always knew something was wrong with you. Like, nothing wrong with me before I started.
Yeah.
Like, why is something wrong with me now? I'm like, nothing wrong with me. But also I had to get to a certain point that I got tired of myself. I remember like, I hear people say when they look in the mirror, they don't see themselves. I looked in the mirror one day, man, and I ain't knew who it was.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like, I'm like, I don't even know who this is. And I'm like, God, John, what's wrong? And I said, you know what? It's time. Like you here. And, you know, that's when I started really putting myself back into being a father.
Yeah.
I started putting myself, I think the biggest thing I did, man, and every time I think about this, it was the smartest thing I ever did in my life. Because they told me about childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my mom used to beat me a lot, you know, and, you know, she did a lot of stuff that, you know, hurt me, but I never told her. But also being an adult, understanding that she's a single mom and that's how she was raised.
Yep.
And then understanding her hurt, going through her trauma with her.
Generation.
Like literally, I went through her trauma with her. Like I talked to my mom, my daughter, my oldest daughter, my mom, because I put a lot of trauma on my oldest daughter.
Yep. Yeah.
All three of us got on the phone. You know, we got FaceTime now. Yeah. Cause my daughter's in school, Clemson. The hell is that? but I'm like, well, if she's going to be a nurse, so I'm happy, you know. So, like, yeah, so, I'm just saying.
That's Clemson. So odd.
I'm like, yeah. Her mom went to South Carolina. So we went there and I went down. And I told him exactly how I feel. I told him like everything. I told my daughter why I wasn't there. I told my mom why I wasn't there. I asked my mom the same question. I told my mom to tell my daughter why this she went. And it was just like, great. Yeah. But it's something that we can talk about. Me and my mom, the whole time I was alive, we never had conversations like this. Because she was like, that's not how we, I said, Mom, look, I need this from you. Mm-hmm. I said, I need this from you. I was like, Mom, because my mama tell me she's proud of me now. She never told me that before.
Right.
And it sounds like really simple and you're a grown man. Like, why do you feel that way, Tony? You know, like, but I'm like, nah, I need that from my mom. Like yeah. the reason why I can't go through stuff because my gratification, the person that I love the most used to hurt me the most.
Yeah, it isn't the one loving me.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so the one thing I get out of this, and I've heard this from others, and number one is that hurt people hurt other people. You know what I mean? Like, that's very common. I applaud you for seeking help and understanding that the childhood trauma that you went through, then trying to make sure I go and talk to my mom, and then she seeks that, right? Yeah. And really opening up those things. Number one, I applaud you for that. The question I have, though, is when did you find and seek help? Like, what was that moment when you looked in that mirror? Who did you see?
You know, my sister.
And what made you go get
help? My sister tells me to leave the story alone, but I think, you know, just talking about it is fine with me, because once you're over something, you can kind of talk about it and it don't bother you. But basically, just had one of those suicidal moments. I tried to go for a cop's gun, and because I couldn't really do it myself. Like, it was just like, this is the perfect thing. I was at the hospital. I was going through a 10-13 again, which is suicidal thoughts. Like, I had a lot of them. Like, you know, I just had a lot of them. But I got in that bed, and I told myself, that's when I knew I was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I had the thoughts, but I was like, you did it. You knew what was going to happen. And you did it. You was just blessed that nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I was like, God, if you start helping me mentally, like, I don't want nothing else. I don't want nothing else. Like, I don't care about no money. I don't care about no cars. Trust me, when you're going through stuff like that.
None of that matters.
I said, I'll stop drinking, because I knew that was one of my bad habits. I said, I'll stop drinking. I'll never drink again if you start helping me mentally. That next day, mentally, everything started coming. Mm. Mentally, because when I was in that little 10, 13, somebody was sitting here talking to me, and somebody else was sitting here talking to me, and I still had the suicidal thoughts, and I was scared to tell everybody. I just kept saying I was dual. And I didn't know dual meant you got two things wrong with you, but I thought it was just like, okay, I'm dual. But you know, it was just like, I didn't want to say I was suicidal. It was hard to face the fact that this is what it came to. You know what I'm saying? It was just hard to face the fact. So when I finally came to it, like now, and I started coming to things like this, to see y'all don't even understand. I saw y'all in the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, I'm sorry. I saw y'all at the draft. And I wanted to speak to y'all then, but I ain't had the confidence at the time.
Yeah.
But that's just how I am. Wow. That's just how I am. That's how I am with a lot of stuff in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But now, like, facing my confidence and stuff, because when I see strong black men like y'all, it makes me feel like I ain't did enough. And it's not, and this is a praise. This is not a knock. This is a praise, because I love to see y'all like that. But I'm like, dang, John, you got to work on yourself, because that's how you want to look too. So I'm telling y'all, this is something that's positive to me, but it took me a while, because, like I said, me coming from Timminsville, South Carolina, being on the losing team, you know, like, not even being in the Hall of Fame yet. What do I got to talk about? Like, you know, what's my, you know, like, if I had the Hall of Fame now, I'm like, hey, what y'all know? Y'all get I had a Super Bowl ring. I could do all that. But for me, like, I had so high standards for myself, and I didn't reach them. Because, you know, some people just happen to be in the league.
Right.
I was like, man, I want a Super Bowl. I want this. Like, Pro Bowls didn't mean nothing to me. All Pro didn't mean nothing to me. I wanted to be a winner. Because I know for a fact, if you win a Super Bowl, if you get one good play in the Super Bowl,
Yeah, David Tyree,
if you get one good play in the Super Bowl, you can pretty much solidify your life. You good for the rest of your life. I never had that. You know, I never had that one play. Only play I can talk about in my career that everybody's like, oh, everybody know about, even though I wasn't the person who did it. I was on the field when Drew Bledsoe got knocked out of the game by Sean Ellis and Mo Lewis.
Yeah.
I was in that game. So that's the only good thing. That's like the only play I can really like put on my history. Like, oh, yeah, but John, you didn't hit him. I was in the game, though. And especially if you watch like YouTubers now, you know, you watch podcasts. A lot of stuff is more about experience, what you did, and, you know, like telling stories about being with Kobe, telling stories about me and Michael Jordan, telling stories about hanging out Roman and Peanut. Like, stories are like that. That's what more people are looking for. I'm like, my story's boring as hell. You know, like, yeah, I played football. You know, for me, it was like my lifestyle. You know, at a certain time, like, when you love something so much, you don't even see it. It's like, you know, if you have a wife, if you have kids, sometimes you don't understand how special the stuff is because it's yours.
Yeah.
Like, this is mine. And I'm not trying to say that. And no, I hope people don't take it the wrong way. But, you know, like, football was mine. Like, it was like, y'all can watch me play and say y'all feel this certain way. Oh, John, you know what you did? I did what I love. What you mean? Like, what you want me to say? Like, I don't got to sit and brag about it and do all this. Like, I did what I love. So that was like part of me. So for me, I don't see the dynamics of how great I was until I watched myself.
Yeah.
Like I had to watch myself because I was so mean to myself. Mm-hmm. I started watching myself. Hey, boy, you all right? You all right? I said, if I play with you, I'll be proud to play with somebody like you. So I'm like, you know, I had to start patting myself on the back, you know. Yeah. And I think we all should do that. You know, I think a lot of players don't understand. I think Troy Williamson, he posted something and I had to post him something back, like to tell him how amazing he was. I'm like, bro, you made it to the NFL, period. Like, yep. Just being in that door, you got a story. Like, you understand, like, nobody does that. Like, you understand, like, if you think about it, it's like millions and millions of people playing in high school, millions and millions of people playing in college. And you're able to go even first round, seventh round, whatever. Like, if you just get a chance to step in that door, anything else in your life should be conceivable.
Yeah.
And I played 15 years. What am I thinking? Like, anything in my life should be conceivable to me.
I love that you're giving yourself positive affirmations, and you're also pouring into other players and giving them positive affirmations. I think we all have good stories. I love how your story is going right now. With that,
yeah, I'm listening. Like, dude, these are great.
These are great stories. Yeah, you got a great story. How are you doing now? And do you have a pretty good support system helping you out today?
Yeah, you know, talking about my kids. Mm-hmm. All my kids know when dad is, you know, kind of off.
Yeah.
Not like off like that. Like, I don't, ain't nothing like that. Like, I don't go out, I don't drink, I don't do all that stuff anymore. But they know when I, like, dad back might be hurt, knee hurt. Because I actually, like I said, speaking to my mom and having an open conversation with her, or being able to talk to her now about anything in life, I do the same thing with my kids. So, you know, yeah, what's going on? You know, dad, you know, got a headache today. I can't do this. You know, the lights in the gym kind of messing with me. I can't come to your game today. So it's certain things that I do now that really help me feel better of a father, mm-hmm. compared to just trying to, you know, when I played, it was more like, what can I get you?
Yeah.
You know, like, best school, you know, you want these shoes, you want this, but then I might not come to a game, or I might show up, you know, intoxicated or something like that, but now I give them the best me. Like, even my oldest daughter, we was talking, mm-hmm. she was like, dad, you know what? I'm not mad about the other kids because, you know, they're from different people. So I'm not mad about the other kids. I'm really glad that my sisters get to see the best dad of you, mm-hmm. or, the, you know, the best part of you now. Yeah, and I'm saying, she's in so I can only be happy for you. So that's a big support system for me, just being, you know, being the person that I want to be for them. Like, even like I said, me and my mom, are our conversations now are just so in-depth. And I feel like a man when I talk to her now.
Yeah.
Because I would tell her, well, I can't talk to you about that. I said, Mom, you treat me like when I was 15. You treat me like when I was 14 or something. Like you, we got
to
talk.
And who is she talking to if she's not talking to you about it? I think that's another thing.
She would talk. I got aunts. Hey, bro, I grew up in the house of all women. My aunts used to always be there. So I guess that's probably why I was so quiet when I was younger too. But no, but my mom. But now, like, just having that openness, man, it feels so good. I had to tell her, I like to write letters to people that I care about because it's more personal than it is, you know, text message and FaceTime. Right.
You got some good stuff, dog.
You do. It's the truth. Yeah. It's the truth. So I wrote my mom.
Generational curses, like, or generational
trauma. I'm working on my mom. So when she ain't here, she going to feel good when she leave me, because she did a lot for me. You know what I'm saying? So I got to do a lot for her. But I wrote her a letter and I told her, this is something that I probably couldn't tell her, like, when I was a kid, but I was like, tell your husband you're proud of him sometime. I said, you will never know how much a man needs to hear that you're just proud of him. She's like, well, you know, he knows. I said, Mom, look now, like, I hear you around him now. And you know, he my stepdad. I still love him like that. He take care of you. So I said, Mom, just tell him you're proud of him. Trust me, you're going to see that man change. Yeah. Like, you might think he just doing like this. I said, just to do it. So it's just like little things that I couldn't tell her before. Like, being a man and being able to tell your mom, like I feel like I'm an adult, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, Mom, do this. And she does it. Like, I tell her, like, certain things. I gave her a journal, you know, my journal. And all this stuff picks me up myself because, you know, I'm helping everything around. You know, I can't be like my grandfather was, you know. My grandfather was an amazing man. I didn't understand that till I became a man. My grandfather had, and this is like 60s, 50s, 70s, he had so many acres of land. He had his own farm. He had a tractor. He did every kind of job. He built my mom's house. He built my cousin's house. This dude, and my mom told me this, and this, I think this is what put it over the top for me. Because my grandma was a beautiful lady. Like, you know, I think we all think our grandparents, our moms, everybody are beautiful. My mom told me that my grandmother was sick. They used to say sick in the head. My grandmother had mental stuff. Mm-hmm. She said, that's why you never seen her. You always seen her with my grandfather. Like he used to leave her at the house. He used to go. He used to come home, cook, clean, do all that stuff. So I said he would go work. And this kind of love he had for his wife.
Yeah.
And even when he would like go to work sometime, he would take her to work with him and he would just sit down watching. I never knew why that. I always thought that, you know, my grandma was working and my grandma was doing this. My mom was like, nah, grandma wasn't good. Like, mama wasn't good for a long time. And I was like, so the aspect of the stuff that I wanted to do for my family, the monetary things I thought that we could take care of stuff that didn't do nothing to help these people. Right. I'm like, man, that's a man. Like, that's a man. Think about it, though. Like, my grandma used to stay fresh, come to church with a gold tooth in. I'm telling you. And this is all my grandfather working on this stuff. So I'm looking like, man, I got a story that is so beautiful. And that man, because he used to always take me in. This is how I got my work that thing. And I never even realized it. On Saturdays, he always took me with him to work. Like on Saturday, bro, I'm talking about Country Strong. You ever heard Country Strong?
Yeah.
Of course. So, I'm from Alabama.
Yeah, he used to have me, you know, putting shingles on my shoulder. And I'm like, I was a skinny kid, man. You know, he taught me so much stuff. I can't reciprocate it now, but he taught me so much stuff, you know, like, you know, but you know, how to do toilets, how to do all kind of cleaning, all kind of like building houses and everything. And I'm thinking like, I always thought it was punishment. He was just a grown man spending time with his grandson.
Yeah.
So that little stuff right there.
Yeah.
Like thinking about it now, I'm like, man, I didn't even notice it. You know, like, cause as a kid, I'm like, why my other cousins get to do this? He knew I ain't had no father, man. He used to always, that Saturday, he used to always, Tony, come, you going with me today? I'm like, man, I want to, man, sit there in his truck, sit there, eat a sandwich or something. He ain't talk much, you know what I'm saying? But before he passed away, the last couple of years I got with him, man, to see his smile again, bro, like stuff like that, that you can't, you know, reciprocate stuff you can't see again. And really understanding why my mom used to talk so highly about her.
Yeah.
Like, I understand now. She's like, oh, you don't understand. I'm like, and then her just telling me all these tidbits about life. It just helped me grow and helped me be a better person, you know, and not even worrying about money no more, man. It's like, relationships. Like, that's what make y'all so special, y'all relationship. Like, whether he a billionaire and whether he had a million, like, it's a relationship, right? Like, my friend asked me, like, man, what is the most important thing about being successful? I said, brother, relationships. You build as many relationships as you can in life. And if you mess up with somebody, move on. If you don't, bring it back. But the relationships, like I tell you, like, that's what I miss about football the most. Just relationships.
Yep.
I don't, like, the checks are good. I ain't gonna lie.
Checks are great.
Checks are good.
Yeah, they're great.
Checks are good. But if you think about it, if you get a good relationship, the checks will still come.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
Number one, I think your story has been absolutely amazing. I think I love your story because it's so much more relatable with so many more people that are struggling in other areas in their life, not just football players.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you sometimes may feel like an outlier as a football player because as football players, everybody thinks we got it all figured out. And so when you see people that are supposed to have it all figured out, be candid and vulnerable enough and explain to us that I don't have it figured out. I think you bring so many more people in and so many more people are going to love listening to your story. And that's why you need to share it more. That's because it's not about this group. You can affect so many more in this world, in this country, because of your story in the way of so many people think that we got it figured out.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're open and able to tell it and explain it and so deeply and passionately that I don't have it figured out. I think it's a beautiful thing. I love that about you. You seem like you are being the best version of yourself, even though you're an all pro, you were a pro bowler, all these other things in the past. But like, no, I think I like this version of myself right now. And especially the way you're able to provide it from your kids and for your daughter to tell you that. I think that's awesome. I know that's a long-winded way to tell you that. I'm just really proud of you. And listening to you tell all these things, it's just amazing. Now, we end our pods usually with one big question that we like to have everybody, except for Nnamdi Asomugha, who, you know, had to do his own thing. But I'm excited. I think I may know who is going to be on this list, but we do a Mount Rushmore of influence. Like the people that have affected you, influenced you the most in your life, whether it's coach, on the field, off the field, all holistically, you're Mount Rushmore. You get four.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, my Mount Rushmore is kind of shaky. I would definitely have to start with my mom, mm-hmm. My grandfather. I want to put a football coach in there, but I can't because they didn't mean as much to me as the people outside of the football game was. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't want to take away from these people, but at the same time, it's tough because I'm like, you know, you want to because that was your profession and that was, you know, that was took care of your life. But I would have to say my best friend, actually, Terrica Worthy. That's just my life. That's my influence, especially outside of football. She saved me in so many aspects of outside of football. And I would have to say my dad. He wasn't in my life, and I think that helped me more than anything. That gave me the drive to be exactly opposite of the person he was with my kids, with how I lived, except for alcohol. I did try to act like him when I drank. I did do that. That perspective of my life, I wouldn't say, but everything he did, I tried to do opposite. Like going to school, like I said, being a father, being a man that you can depend on, you know, always being vocal with people and being real with people. Getting out of my mom's house. My dad stayed with his mom till he passed away. So he's probably the biggest one, like the biggest one for me. And it's a Mount Rushmore, you know, people have so, you know, I got other things I can talk about. If you're talking my life though, and what I think about when I'm at home, I think about those people. I don't think about like what my coach told me. Like when I walk through life, I don't think about, like when I walk through life now, I think about, you know, he'll never see this. Yeah. You know, I think about she'll never see this. You know, what can I do to make my mom more happy? What can I do to make my best friend more happy? You know, even me being here and doing this, I know it gives them some kind of gratification. You know, like my mom is going to be very grateful when she sees this, or she don't see it. But, you know, she's going to be grateful that I'm doing this, because I honestly had to ask my mom. I said, and it's situations in my life that happened that I asked her now. I couldn't ask before. I said, Mom, did I deserve this? She said, what? I said, Mom, did I deserve this? Did I deserve to be a football player? Did I deserve to have this money? Did I deserve? I said, I don't feel like I deserve this. Like, I was capable of it, but I don't feel like I deserve it. She was like, boy, don't you? I said, no, Mom, I'm just asking you. Like, today my mind is telling me while I'm sitting in my condo and thinking about Timothyville, South Carolina, the small 1,700 square foot house we grew up in with the five people. You know, me, my mom, my sister, my other sister is my cousin, and my aunt, all us in that one house. And now I'm sitting like on top of Atlanta and looking down at Atlanta. I'm like, Mom, do I deserve this? Like, I don't know if I deserve this. Like, you staying on the golf course now. I'm like, you totally deserve it. I'm like, Mom, you deserve that. But I'm like, I'm sitting in my condo and I'm like, I don't know if I deserve to have these great kids. I don't know if I deserve, you know, to be able to move like I move now. Like, so for me, when she said, yeah, you do. She said, anything, you know, God give you, you deserve it. And you should be proud of it. And you should be grateful that you got it. And I said, Mom, I appreciate it, because today I was not feeling like I deserved where I was in life. Like, maybe they should have gave it to my best friend. He was a pretty good player. Maybe I should have gave it to my cousin. He seemed like a pretty legitimate guy. And I'm like, my mom telling me that, just the confidence just boosted up. And I'm still blessed enough to have the, you know, conversations with my mom. You know, someone that I needed gratification from when I was younger, but her saying that just, you know, really, really pushed me to like be here. And when I say be here, I'm saying just being present, you know, just being present in your life, you know, because a lot of times we don't even know that we're not being present at the time.
Right.
We'll be sitting there thinking about, okay, yeah, you can be on your phone. Okay, I'm doing this and doing this. Somebody walk right by that probably won't speak to you, say something nice, but you're doing something else. So, you know, just like being in the present. So, appreciate it, but that's my four, man. That's my four, and I apologize. It ain't no,
it's,
you know,
a good
I had Lou.
It's a perfect four. It's whatever you want. It's customized for you. It's all about you, boss.
Yeah,
man.
So that's me, dog.
That's a good four. I like that four. Well, first appreciate off,
I love you. The four, just because I didn't mean to cut you off, Peanut, but my stepbrother, before he passed away, did the, I heard him say the same thing, was that he didn't want to be like somebody so bad that he ended up becoming just like him. That's the scary part too. Yeah. And so you, I love that you're letting all these things go by speaking about it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And so because of that, it's really, really impactful. Go ahead, Peanuts.
No, I just thank you for sharing your story, man. Thank you for being vulnerable. I love the emotional maturity, the growth that you've shown and been through. And it's amazing. And I love that you're breaking down walls and you're raising your kids and they get the best version of you. And that's, oh man, that's beautiful.
Appreciate it, man.
That's beautiful. I'm just absolutely amazed that you were actually like nervous to come talk to us. I'm like, bro, you were a freaking baller, dog. Yeah. Like I didn't know you. Yeah. I didn't know you. I had no idea.
And that's how I am.
And yeah. I had no idea. Seeing you and played against you all those times and just had no idea.
And I totally get it. Like, my mom, like, we just ain't them kind of people. Like,
yeah.
Hey, if I see something I like, I probably won't go get it. I'll sit there and look at it. Like, but you know, it is what it is. But like I said, I appreciate y'all having me, man. If I can help anybody,
that's
a big thing for me. Because my sister's like, you know, you're over that stuff in your past and all that stuff, and you should just move on. I said, you know, I just want to talk my real life. Like, that's really what's going on, man. You know, it's a lot easier for me just to give y'all what it is. I'm not in that place anymore. I'm in a better place and I can give a better, you know, view of me. So a lot of times, like walking up to people now is a lot easier compared to it was then.
We appreciate it. I love that.
To
share your story and you just to speak open and vulnerably.
I think it's more impactful that way, man. Appreciate it, John. Appreciate it, man. All right, we get y'all out of here, man. That was beautiful. Really emotional. I mean, I'm a little bit tearing up, honestly. But wherever you listen to your podcast, thank you so much, man. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a follow. Click a share. And what is the other one, Peanut?
Link, subscribe, follow, share, leave a comment.
Dude, you're so much better than me right now. I don't know what it is. But anyways, wherever you pick up your podcast, whether it's iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, please, man, we appreciate it. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
I'm Charles Toomer, John Abraham, Roman Harper. Hey, this is the NFL Players Second X Podcast. We out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.